Caleb and Fatima and Missy here this morning. Victoria, Isabella's here. She's back with the kids. And Victoria had to stay to take care of the pets in the hotel room. They wouldn't be left. So you'll see Victoria next time. So good to have them. And we are going to miss Beck and Bruce. We're praying about how long that will be, but that's another issue. The Lord will lead them. You know, sometimes you got to go the wrong direction. Just get moving and let God lead you. And eventually, at least if you're moving, he can get you steered back to where you need to be. So, why is the top of your head so red, Bruce? Oh, man, I'm gonna miss my other fishing buddy. But I don't know. John's been getting shorted ever since I got my... I never dreamed he was going to go nuts, so... We'll get things balanced back out now, John. All right. At any rate, if you don't know, I introduced Bruce to a bass rig, and he fell off the deep end. I really should be preaching on balance this morning. You getting this all on video? Make sure it's all online. Praise the Lord. Once again this morning, I'm at a loss, I'll be honest with you, where to start and how to do this. I mean, so much news has happened, and so much has happened since the last time we were here together. And I know that there are people that were disappointed that I didn't cut the same groove that I had the weeks prior, but I really felt the need to go back and just reestablish our center in the Word. I am absolutely not ducking my responsibility there. I'm absolutely unafraid to deal with the politics or whatever you want to call it. I hate politics, but it's time for the church to rise up and be what we were called to be, salt and light. And if you care for your children, your grandchildren, the future of this nation, for where it was, where and how it was founded, and our direction, and know that we are called as the people of God unto good works to make a difference in our communities and our nation, then we cannot duck, we cannot shirk our responsibility to those areas of our lives. And I feel like we have done so for way, way too long. I'm ashamed that I thought I was fairly outspoken and kind of treading lightly, but I'm ashamed of the fact that I have said as little as I have, because right now we are reaping the results of us being intimidated. I hear music. You good now? Everything okay? Bueno? Okay. I didn't know what was getting ready to happen. I was looking for the doors. Okay. We're going up! Don't hit your head. No, anyway. Where was I at? Not hard to distract me, huh? Salt and light. And making a difference. So in that process, I guess where I was at is, you know, to duck the response. I guess I had been PC'd down. And so we must. Now, we can't turn this into this is what we are. Here's what we do. We preach Jesus. He is the answer. Without him, there is no righteousness. There is no standard. So, anyway, I think what I want to do before we go any further this morning, turn with me in your Bibles as you stand to 2 Timothy chapter 2. A couple of things that I want to say, and this is going to be a broad brush. I'll straighten it up later or not. But everything that you've seen over the last few days, the writing, not just something I have an opinion about, but based in fact, it's the same movement, the same people, the same directive, the same vision, the same money, the same stuff going on, pushing an agenda forward they do not like what our president is doing right now in the White House. And I'll talk more about that later. Now, we must remember that they are not our enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. This is all found in Ephesians chapter 6. You want to look there. Rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places. And we tend to spiritualize all those things, but you got to understand that any good that God does in the earth, He does through His people. Are you here today? He gave us authority in the earth for a reason. He gave us the ability to pray in His name and move mountains. And it's up to us to stir ourselves. This is why in Ephesians 5, it says, "Awake thou that sleepest." Are you asleep? Right now, you know, we've gotten through, the shock of what took place with COVID. And what are we going to do? I agree, and I'm going to introduce you to another pastor here on video here in a little bit. And remain, actually, if you need to sit down a minute, but I want to ask you to, we're going to stand and pray here in just a minute. I know I'm going a little bit long in my introduction to the prayer, but how many know that there is a war at hand for our nation, for righteousness? Absolutely. We must understand that our battle is not after the flesh, but we also have to understand that that which we are seeing manifest out here is a reflection of what is taking place in the Spirit. And we have to understand that the fervent prayer, as one of the scriptures we're going to read here in just a moment, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, but are we praying? I must confess to you, I think I am angry a lot more of the time than I am actually praying. I see this stuff and I'm like, my God. And we have to back up and realize that some things are taking place that I believe are answers to prayer and very supernatural. In the video that we're going to show in just a little bit, I can't remember if it's in this one. I won't show it this morning, but it might be in the second video, and I want to encourage you all, when you see it, you'll know what I mean. But he speaks of a process right now that is exactly what we're seeing, where Jesus shares the parable of the wheat and the tares. And there is the servant that goes out and sows seed, and the wheat grows up. But it says, while the servant slept, men came in and they sowed. So these are obviously evil men. These are men who are coming against the man who sowed good seed. Evil men, while he slept, came in and sowed tares, sowed weeds among the wheat. And then there becomes this consuming, you know, what should we do? Do we uproot the tares? Do we uproot the weeds? And the master says, no, leave it alone and let it grow. Because with the growth of wheat and tares, as they grow, there will be a clear distinction, clear delineation between what is good and what is bad. As it grows, evil will be exposed. We've been praying that it would be. We're told and called by God in Ephesians. If I say anything that I can't back with Scripture, delete it, and for God's sake, never remember it again. But if I can show it in Scripture, it's something then now that you are aware of, that you know, and before God, you're accountable to. Okay with that? So as this thing grows, we're seeing a clear distinction now. That which has laid in secret, and while we slept, you know, is it Cloward and Piven, 1966? Going back, Saul Alinsky, going back before that, those who sought through the divides of race, of culture, of financial status, sought to drive wedges for the purpose of empowerment and to drive a nation away from God and towards their ideals of globalism. This is no longer conspiracy, people. We have to realize right now that We are in a spiritual battle. It's important for you to be informed. It's important for you. I can't do all that here. But I do trust the Holy Spirit that is in you. As we've said for many weeks, if you're born again, you have the Holy Spirit in you who will show you and bring understanding about the times that we live in. He will help you separate and help you. So do you understand? So it's a huge deal for me to deal with. And I realize that I'm not asking for compliments, so please don't. I realize I'm not the best communicator of these things, but I have a responsibility, so I'm just going to do the best I can. You pray for me. Lend me mercy where I need it, grace where I need it, but take a hold of the heart and listen, let's become active. While the servants slept, men came in unaware and planted things to subvert and change. But it's not over. For the master said, let it grow, let it be seen clearly what is what, and then we'll deal with the issue. So right now, we're seeing that taking place in our nation. Let's trust God, all right? So several scriptures, and then we're going to pray. So I want to ask you all, if you can, if you're able, to stand with us one more time. Now, if you're struggling, you're fine. This is not a demand. But I want us to stand as if we're standing. Having done all to stand there for. This is a picture of what we're doing. 2 Timothy, if you would turn there with me very quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. I'm not asking you to like our president. I'm not asking you to do anything other than what Scripture says to do. I see a man who very obviously has had a serious heart change. He is doing this at a total loss to himself and everything. There's a list that I'm going to give you in a minute that will shock you when you actually see that while he has been beat to shreds out here, every move after move after move after move after move, law after law after law has been for the purposes of the Christian church. And I'm going to show it to you. It'll shock you because you don't see it. Okay? You don't see it in the main press. Now, here, irregardless of all that, here is what Scripture says about how we are to deal with these things. Let me find my place. Am I in the right chapter? Go to first, maybe it's 1 Timothy 2. My mind is full. 2. My apologies. 1 Timothy 2. Chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. For kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Amazing. Okay? Now turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 6. Be careful. I'm going to go ahead and start reading. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. And this is a word for you today with everything going on around you. Be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. That's King James for stop worrying. Stop trying to carry the cares of the world on your shoulders. It's important for you to be informed, but it is not your job to carry these things. Greater, Scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's another danger here too. Let me interrupt myself real quick. I started to say this a little while ago, and I want to complete the thought. We went through the shock. It's still shocking of what took place. I know when this first came out, I knew in my gut something was off. That's why we went a week longer in our services than a lot of people did. Not for pride's sake, I promise. That was not what I was even thinking about. Okay? But then when I heard President Trump, just like Jack Hibbs, when I heard President Trump say, "Till we know what's going on," he called 15 days. We did that. He called 15 more. And after that, I began to be informed more of what was taking place and made a decision. We're going to open back up on X date. Thank God we haven't dealt with the stuff here in Arizona that many other states have, like California and others. Thank God for Arizona. Okay, so, but it's very easy for us up here in Chino Valley and Prescott area. I mean, we had a little skirmish at the courthouse and people playing games and whatever, but we haven't dealt with the stuff that a lot of people have seen. And it'd be very easy for you to, like, we got beautiful weather, summer is here, the pressure's letting off, some of the restaurants, to just kind of go back to sleep. I want to warn you, these people, and more importantly, the spirit that drives it, they're not even started yet. And this isn't the time to lay down and to go to sleep. They're going to do this. They're going to try to cause there to be another wave of the so-called COVID thing. We understand now a little bit about what is going on. I have something I want to read here, but I want to pray first. But there's more coming. They're going to do everything. They're going to seize upon every opportunity, like George Floyd. Was what happened despicable? Absolutely. But what is more despicable are the lives that have been lost as a group like Antifa, funded directly by George Soros and others, now incites violence, and the media doing the same. Are you with me? To now drive this into a completely crazy direction by radicals. They're going to seize, listen, every little thing they can seize upon, they're going to drive this hard. And this is not the time, now that it's pretty. I mean, here in Arizona, up here in Chino, we don't hardly feel it. Prescott, Arizona, things are relaxing. Listen, it's not that way all over. The only places they're relaxing, a lot of these lock-ins, is because now suddenly the hypocrites, and I'm going to say it straight and very clear, the hypocrites that were locking people up and say you're irresponsible if you don't wear a mask and stay locked in your own home, you can't even go and see your dying grandmother in a nursing home because of COVID, now are unleashing them, go riot, get together, smash together in thousands, do complete nonsense. The inconsistencies are glaring. And if you're not seeing these things, you're blind and you're asleep. Now, the improper reaction is to get angry and crazy and whatever, but to have righteous indignation, holy anger, and begin to say, this is not what my forefathers paid for. This is not what the divine hand of providence exercised through men who believed in a God-given dream of true freedom. No experiment of freedom like this ever has seen before. We need to be aware and awake of what has taken place. There's not enough time to cover everything, but we definitely need to be very aware, very awake. So here's, now, in the midst of, I want to caution you, don't go to sleep. Stir yourself. Be awake. While you're enjoying the beautiful sunshine, and this next week, my last get-go with for a little while anyway, with Bruce on the boat, we're going to go to Roosevelt and spend some time with the grandkids, and there's going to be a lot of people there for the beautiful sun and the water and catching a few bass. It's so easy to forget that right now in Phoenix, Arizona, as fast as they can hire them, they are hiring contact tracers, planning on a second wave of a so-called pandemic, which is a plandemic. To everything is a directive to destroy a man who is standing in the way of their goal of driving a godly nation under to fit what they believe is a necessary globalist goal for the good of humanity, which is a lie. It's for the good of a few who will rule. It's always that case. Any form of socialism or communism has never worked. It only seems to work for a little while until all the rich people's money runs out. I've seen it. I've been in those nations. When that money runs out, everybody's equally poor except for a few rich at the top. It's a lie. It's born out of hell, and I'm way off from prayer. So here's the scripture I want you to see. In the middle of all this, my call to action, my call to prayer, my call to remind you of the things that you must be aware of is not a call to fear. For God's going to take care of you and I no matter what takes place. Never forget Psalms 91 that says, you will see destruction on all sides. Psalms 91, if you haven't read it in a while, read it. This is an Old Testament promise. If it was true then, how much exponentially more true is it now in Jesus? Woo! And he says, you'll see destruction on all sides, and yet it will not harm you if you will believe. How many are glad for Jesus today? Amen. Okay, so here's what the scripture says. Don't worry, though. Posture yourself in the Word of God. Confident the Holy Spirit in you is speaking to you. And don't worry about anything. This is a higher authority than any of us here, than any other man. This is the Word of God. He says here, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts. That word keep in the King James is an unfortunate rendering, translation. For that word means, literally, if you go and look at it in the Greek, has the same, it literally means to umpire. What does an umpire do in a baseball game? He calls the shots. You let the peace of God, let this process take place in you today and in your personal lives at home. Don't stick your head in the sand. That's foolish. It breaks my heart when I still hear of spirit-filled people that are afraid to leave their homes because they're afraid of COVID. When right now, to date, the actual real numbers, if you can get past the haze of misinformation, is still weaker than the average flu. I just looked at the numbers yesterday. This is a lie. I'm not saying it is a lie. It's real. You ought to exercise. You ought to be washing your hands anyway. But they know right now, that it is a very heavy virus. It does not travel 6 feet. It doesn't even travel 3, which is what the CD said in the beginning. But they moved the goalposts so many times because this isn't about a disease. It's about control. Let me back up again. Forgive me. I said my mind was full. Here's what it says. In all of this, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall umpire. The peace of God in you will help you call the shots. And shall umpire your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's awesome. One more verse. James, as you stand, having done all to stand, stand. Doing all right, Ibby? All right. She can set a horse from now till. We're believing God for the rest, right? Amen. You and me both. All right, so look at James, the book of James, way in the back. Hebrews, find the book of Hebrews, and then look at James. chapter 5. Verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That doesn't mean you go vomit all your dirty laundry about everything that you're going through so you may be healed. That's not what that means at all. But it's walking in integrity. If I'm struggling and I'm struggling alone, I'm struggling in a losing battle. Find somebody that you can trust and pray with, that'll stand with you, that might know a little bit more about the Word of God, who's walked in this stuff long enough to know that every one of us struggle and we need one another. Amen? Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Look at the second part of that verse. The effectual, this is the Bible. How many know this is pretty good authority? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. How many righteous men and women do we have in the house this morning? Some of you stuttered because you're still stuck on, well, I'm mostly righteous. Because you still don't understand the separation of righteousness by faith. That is, your faith in Jesus made the new you, the new creature on the inside, as righteous as Jesus Himself. God is helping you now in that process to cause the outward man now to be fashioned after the inward man. If you're new to this, Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. I believe it's Moffat's translation or one of the others says, be not conformed or shaped by the spirit of this age, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Verses 1 through 3 of Romans 12. All right? So, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. How were you made righteous? How many now want to ask it one more time? How many have put your faith and trust in Jesus? Amen. Then the Bible calls you and not, well, He doesn't just call you or consider, He has made you righteous. Here's a scripture you need to write down, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we by faith in His work could be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I want you to shout it out loud with all the confidence in the world. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're not righteous in your own works. How many know? You have a few works this past week. Got cut off in traffic. There was a work that came out of you. It still needs worked on. But it didn't change who you are on the inside. And the Holy Spirit in you, when that came out of your mouth, it's not like the old days. It hurt because you got a new you that now battles with the old you. And I'm not saying you have two natures. We have one. It's a nature of God in us. But I'm saying our flesh has a bent that we have to train now. Are you with me? So one more time, I want you to say it out loud like you mean it. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, this verse is talking to you. I'm talking to you. The fervent prayer of a righteous man. The Spirit of God says to you today, so when we pray, we're not just a bunch of people a hoping and a praying. That's religion. The Word of God says when righteous people stand and pray. You say, but there's just us. Yeah, there was just Daniel. Uno. By the way, if there's just one, it isn't just one, because now in Jesus, Jesus and me are majority. Maybe you need to say that out loud today. Out loud today, Jesus and me are majority. For greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Okay, one more time. I won't preach anymore. We're going to pray. Stand to your feet. So the faithful prayer of a righteous man. How many righteous people we got in the house today? How many believe the Word of God that says that our prayer in the Spirit avails much? I'm going to pray some things, and you feel free to join in and add or whatever, but I'm going to pray some things, and if nothing else, let's stand in agreement. Matthew chapter 18. Jesus gives us more than permission, but a promise that if any two of us should agree concerning a matter, that it will be done. That means that when we pray today, we're going to add our voice to the voice of millions right now all over the United States that are true believers, salt and light. These people don't understand. The tares sown among the wheat do not realize that they are awakening a sleeping giant. Shame on us for sleeping. But we're awake now. Let's do something in the Spirit. That verse that we read in Philippians 4:6, more than a connotation, more than an inference, God is saying, I've heard your prayer. Now do something. Psalms 1:1-3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water, and he will bring forth fruit in season. His leaf will not wither. Hold up. And whatever he does, you don't sit on your hands and pray, you get moving. Amen. So Father, today in Jesus' name, come on over the house. Maybe join hands with your spouse or somebody that you have of trust. Bruce, you can grab my brother's hand right here. Somebody, get a hold. Let's get an agreement all over the house. Father, today they say not to do this in seeker-friendly churches, so I'm enjoying doing this. Father, today in Jesus' name, first and foremost, we pray for President Trump. Only you know where his heart is, but we can see on the outside that something has happened on the inside of that man. For he has nothing personal to gain standing in the defense of righteousness and the Christian Church of America and of truth. Absolutely, Frank. Today, I am reminded, as we pray together, of Isaiah 54, verse 17. Let the people of God say, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you will condemn. Father, today in Jesus' name, I thank you. I know already in the Spirit, I know here that all stops are going to be pulled out. And when that fails, there's going to be an attempt on his life. But we, the people of God, know that our prayer as the righteousness of God in Christ avails much. And if we will stand strong, Father, I thank you today for your word. for your word. For your word. It can't be my word, but for your word, as we stand and speak your word. In faith believing, Psalms 5:12 says, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield." Today, in Jesus' name, over that man, over his wife, over his children, over those who serve with him together, his cabinet. Father, in Jesus' name, come on, are you praying with me, people? Protect them. Let his heart, he's a man who has seemed to be arrogant and crass, a fighter, but we needed a fighter. Oh, how I love Ben Carson. But how I'm glad Ben Carson is not in this position right now. He has his place, a godly man in his place. But thank you for a fighter. But Father, I thank you that you speak to his heart. You soften where soften is, that he would come into a real and living, if he hasn't already, a real and living relationship, not just with God, for all the world recognizes some form of God, but Jesus, that you would be revealed to this man. Protect him. We declare, would you say it with me? We declare in Jesus' name the protection of God, the shield of favor. Provision, protection, wisdom on his life. And we stand praying in agreement together. I'm so thankful that he's a man who understands that the church is not essential. We're not a business. We're not relegated to essential, nor are you individually. We are the family of God, the church of God. We ascribe to authority higher than any government law. His law stands above all. And Father, today, I thank you. We're not essential. We are the called of God. People, when they try this nonsense again, will you stand with me? I'm not closing these doors again. I'm with Jack Hibbs. Will you stand and be counted? Enough is enough. We're not doing that. Father, we pray for them today in Jesus' name. I've voiced my criticism enough. Forgive me, Lord. Bless and strengthen Governor Doug Ducey and others just like him. Let him see what is going on. Open his eyes for this awesome state of Arizona. Let the God-given right, not given by a government, but a government in its formation that recognized the God-given right of the freedom of assembly, of expression, of the practicing of our faith. Father God, today we lift up Doug Ducey. We lift up those in authority. We lift up those who would be our enemies, except we don't look at them as our enemies. We look at them today as people that you love. For God so loved the Republicans. For God so loved the conservatives. No. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Today we pray for them that their eyes would be opened. Thank you for what you're stirring right now among the black community. Waking up all over, realizing we've been duped. But let their anger be redirected by you. Let truth be revealed. Father, today in Jesus' name, We ask you these things. We pray for our nation. We pray for the church, for pastors, for the people of God, that we would be razor edge sharp, aware of the times we live. Ephesians 5, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and God will give you light, supernatural insight into what is taking place. Say with me, I will not be duped. And that shouldn't turn you into a crazy, radical conspiracy theorist, but I'm tired of every time that I ferret out truth, it's shot down as conspiracy. So today, Father, I thank you for truth being revealed. In Jesus' name, I pray today for moms and dads, grandpas and grandmas, for our families, for marriages, for Chino Valley, for Prescott, for the whole Quad City area. Come on, people, would you pray with me? I come against the spirit of suicide and depression that wants to now invade homes and lives in Phoenix and the greater area throughout our state and our nation. In Jesus' name, we recognize our fight is in the Spirit. I thank you in Jesus' name for an interrupt by the hand of God because somebody dared to open their mouth and stand in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Let anything that I said that was not of you be permanently removed from our minds, but all that which flows from you, let it be firmly cemented within us. Let it roll and roll and tumble in our mind as we trust you. Be anxious. Remember Philippians 4:6. If you didn't write that down, if you can't find it, I want you to remember it. You can let go of hands now. I love that social distancing, sweating into each other's hands. Okay, listen. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. But with prayers and supplications, let your request, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And watch and see what God will do as He umpires your heart with His own peace. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. What's that? And we did lift up our enemies. We did. And you need to. Absolutely. I don't even want to call them our enemies. Amen. They're enemies. They're certainly the enemies of faith and the enemies of righteousness and humanity. How is... I can't go there. I would like to, John. I wasn't going to do it at this point, but I'd like to open up. I see more of a known family here this morning, and I was going to try to be careful about how I enter, but I don't need to worry about that. Do you have that video queued up and ready to go? Do we have sound? Okay. This is, I want to introduce you. You can find this guy. Is this the same guy you were telling me? I thought it was. There is a pastor in Southern California that is absolutely amazing. If you've not heard of him, I'm introducing him to you today. His name is Jack Hibbs. H-I-B-B-S. Pastor Jack and Tony Perkins. Now, do you remember, in fact, I'm going to be borrowing from some of his stuff over the next few weeks. How many are familiar with the Family Research Council? Okay, that is, the president is Tony Perkins. So that's who you'll see in just a few moments. And he'll explain a little bit more about who he is. But I was amazed, Chad, because you were going to send me a link, and I never did get it. But I figured it had to be him. And this man went through a process very similar to ours, except he wasn't dealing with 100 people. He was dealing with thousands. And yet he stood in integrity and in strength. But he talks about some of the things that we're talking about, and there are some things I thought, why not just roll the video instead of me trying to reinterpret it? Just roll it. So I want you to see this as we move back into where we were at last week, double-mindedness, because there's a message there that I want us to see. I don't want us to drift so far over into the information, into what could be perceived as just getting political, although we're going to correct that notion. We have a responsibility, whatever you want to call it. I hate politics, but we have a responsibility to know and to pray and to vote and be active, or we will lose our liberties, period. And it's happening right now, okay? So, where was I at? Anyway, this is Jack Hibbs, Pastor Jack Hibbs. Tony Perkins is the president of FRC, and that's the one that, I shared that several weeks ago, the pamphlet that he has out. Before I go any further, I'll do that afterwards. Let's go ahead and just roll the video and you'll see what I'm talking about. And for the video's sake, I guess just shoot the screen and get the audio. And then also I can give you the link and we can add that too so they can go see the full, because it's two segments. We're only seeing the beginning of the first. Go ahead and roll it. Pull the lights down just a little bit if you would. Can everybody hear okay?
So listen, we'll see you on the other side, but welcome to real life. I have down here question number one for Tony S.
That's it. Come on. better from there. And do not misinterpret what he just said. When he said, I don't care what people think, throughout both of these segments, he repeatedly talks about the need for us to love people. And he's saying, I don't care about people. But we need to rise to a place where we care about more about what God thinks and says than what people think. And that's what he's saying. That only gets better. There is a segment two. John, if you will cue that up and have it ready, there's a number two. Can you do that? To that. It should be right there in the queue. If not, don't worry about it because we hadn't planned on that. I just wanted to show just a little bit of that. Actually, how fast can you pull that up? Because then I wouldn't have to interrupt myself later. Is that throwing you for a loop? Should be part two. They're about a half hour long, each one of them. You got it? Can we go ahead and roll just maybe just the first few minutes? I'll tell you when to stop it. I wasn't going to do this, but I think it fits perfectly into the conversation. Part two, that's it. And I've got this off now, so you can... I'll give you a little bit of what you can go and see for yourself. You can simply, there it is on YouTube. Go back just a moment. If you just simply, on YouTube, Pastor Jack and Tony Perkins, Should Christians Be Involved in Politics? 1 and 2. And then all of his messages, he's got all on there from before the whole COVID outbreak all the way through how the Lord led him through their process. His battles with the state of California, and specifically Gavin Newsom, and how they have tried to override not just the Constitution, but the executive orders from President Trump, and how they have dealt with that. And you'll notice that these are not a bunch of wacko right-wing crazies. They're standing on truth. They're going about it the right way. What do we mean by fight? Well, that's a... If we don't define that, okay, there's a lot of people that have gone the wrong way. There's people right in this little town that stand around. I mean, I haven't seen them in a while, but they got horrible signs basically shouting at the public. I remember one of the ones I saw was "Turn or Burn." Well, what kind of a message is that? So we don't need to get crazy. But we do need to become, when it comes to truth and righteousness, it's okay to be fanatical there. Some of you paused because I said fanatical. See how you've been duped? Fanatical has a negative connotation because of what they have presumed upon you. Are you a fan of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a fan of His righteousness and His truth? Do you believe that enough to pray, to believe, to act, to vote, to let your voice be heard, to share with others? You're a fanatic. Amen. Get over it. It's, if they can nominalize and neutralize everything through terms. And again, many of you don't know it, but even the buzz phrase conspiracy theory was brought about by the CIA to shut down anybody looking at a lot of inconsistencies that happened or that surrounded the death of President Kennedy. They purposely put that forward. You can go and source that. It's not hard to find. And many other things. So anyway, so with all of that and the little bit of time that I have remaining, I actually don't have any time remaining, so you're welcome to leave any time you want, but I'm gonna hit a few things before we go. Will you give me a little time? Yeah. I've been trying to limit myself to 11:30. It's impossible. I enjoyed the worship. We're mostly family here. I wanna clip through a few things, if I may. Give me a few minutes. You're welcome to leave. I won't think bad of you if you got somewhere to go. But a lot to do here. We doing okay? Have you enjoyed this morning so far? Okay. Last week, I hit on the theme of double-mindedness. So I want to just read through this article and a few of my notes. And I'll try not to elaborate too awful much to get to a next segment, and then we'll pick it up from there. Fear is not only, I might add, the opposite of faith. Couple of scriptures that you've heard over the weeks, I want to remind you of them. Hopefully you have them now in your quiver. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Proverbs 29, verse 25. The fear of man is a snare, but those who trust in the Lord are safe. Powerful, powerful verses. I want to remind you once again that ignorance is not bliss, but the soil in which fear and an improper and dangerous response to it can brew and grow. That's what's happening right now all over nations. You got rich white kids in big cities who are out rioting. They don't even know anything. They don't understand civics. They don't understand. They don't even know who's in office. They don't even know the name of their own governor. But they're all out there representing white privilege, a misnomer. And I don't have time to go into all that, but it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's horrible what happened. But this is the wrong response. And I think everybody understands that, except for those who are finding the ads on Craigslist. Are you aware of this? Offering payment and training you how to protest. Antifa. Okay, so wake up. And it's given kids without a cause. We took the cause away in 62 when prayer was removed out of the schools, year before I was born. We took the cause away when we removed the Ten Commandments and we removed the Word of God and we removed the core, moral core. Removing those very things. Anyway, I must move on. I'm elaborating and I said I wouldn't. It's hard. Okay, so with jumping into last week, let me just read through this. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 3, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible, him that believeth. How many times have you heard that fear is the opposite of faith? I've heard it hundreds of times and not thousands of times in sermons and in books on faith. Am I saying fear doesn't negatively affect faith? No, no, no. It absolutely does. What I am saying, though, is that fear is not the main culprit. There is another condition that instigates and produces fear, and we need to be aware of that original condition that births fear in the first place. We have an enemy. Can you say amen? Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. Peter said, be sober and vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he comes to John 10:10, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus finishes that saying, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. He is a defeated foe, Satan is, so the only power he has over us is the power we give him. That is a truth found in God's Word. Okay? So the only power he has over us is the power we give him. How do we give him power? I'm glad you asked. The battleground is in our minds. The main way Satan attacks a believer is through lies, because he is the father of lies. If he can get you to believe a lie, then you've just abdicated some of the power Jesus gave you. And by so doing, it gives Satan power over you. We're going to look at that a little closer. Now let's look at just a few of the many ways Satan uses to deliver and distribute his lies. Number one, we started here last week. Religious traditions and doctrines. The older I get, the more I hate religion. But the more I love Jesus and a relationship with the Father through Him. Religion is mean. I was able to stand in a memorial service yesterday and declare to people standing all around from many different ways of thinking and declare the goodness of God and let them know. I don't know how many of them come up to me afterwards and said, I've never heard that before. One of them who's been suffering with depression. They found out God was good. He wasn't against them. They've heard mean religion all their life. They've turned their back on church. But every one of them in there were touched by the message, the hope of the gospel. What have we done? What has church become? If he can get you to believe a lie, then you've just abdicated some of the power Jesus gave. Okay, oops, I'm sorry. I'm down further than that. Religious traditions and doctrines is one of the ways he uses. Jesus said, the traditions of man. This is Jesus speaking in Mark chapter 7, verse 13. The traditions of man make the word of God of no effect. Any church tradition, I don't care what it is, it's not found in the word of God, and more specifically in the new covenant. Because everything changed when Jesus died, was buried, and raised from the dead, ascended to the Father. He brought a new and living way through the work of his cross and his resurrection. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Okay, we'll fill in the blanks as we move along. So much of religion has kept people as bound as a lot of the things that we're talking about right now from the left. Religion is as guilty as all of that, has been part and parcel too much of it. Sad to say. I'm delivered from religion, set free in Jesus. Amen. Okay, so moving along. Unforgiveness. Here's another tool he uses. Unforgiveness, bitterness, and hatred. Perfect love. John said in 1 John 4:18, perfect love casts out fear. Isn't that awesome? Not perfect hate, perfect love. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. The King James says, because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. Here's another tool the enemy uses. Intellectualism without the Spirit. Not many wise men are chosen. Ever met somebody who was so incredibly smart, but they missed the simple things? Not many wise men are chosen, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. When I read that, I think of people like men like Abraham Lincoln, part and parcel to the solidifying and founding of this great nation. He spoke of himself and what he did, but he answered a call and made a difference. Could have been a nobody, but he rose above. And it's anyway, I don't have time. Let's go back to the root cause of fear. The supreme nuclear weapon that Satan uses to defeat believers and create fear in the first place is double-mindedness, and he does that with lies. Let's look at James chapter 1, if you turn there with me. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. I'm going to go ahead and start reading for time's sake, but I hope that you'll turn there and see this for yourself. Here's what the scripture says. You hear me quote it often. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. He doesn't hold back. He gives liberally. That's what the next part of that verse says. And upbraideth not. King James 4, he doesn't hold back at all. You ask, he gives wisdom freely. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Again, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. Anything you receive from God, can you say amen, is by faith. Anything you receive from God is by faith. It's never by works. Your very salvation is received by faith. What does Ephesians 2 tell us? For by grace through faith, verses 8 and 9, by grace through faith are you saved. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For it is the gift of God, right? Think about it like this. If Satan can sow doubt in your mind about any of God's promises, then he has you double-minded. Last week I started a story and I never finished it. I smashed into a cinder block wall, compound fracture, femur bone out through the inside. My wife happened to be on site when it happened. The main artery and the main vein. Those of you who understand the medical implications of that, those arteries and veins are as big as your thumb. It's a virtual impossibility to stop that flow unless somebody can get to you very, very quickly. They say, and it's on record, I should have been dead in less than 1 minute. They do not understand why I am alive. My wife and many others can verify this story. As she began to jump up and down and spin in a circle, calling on the name of Jesus and praying in other tongues, and that's biblical. Nothing we don't abuse around here. You don't need to freak out, but maybe we ought to abuse it a little more. She began to pray in other tongues, in the name of Jesus. Nobody knows why. They don't understand it, but all 4 points clotted so well that when they rushed me to the hospital, I went code blue 3 times. Code blue. I could feel myself dying 3 separate times. I didn't know anything about code blue 3 times till later on they were telling the story. When they got there, the clotting was so well seized. God did such an incredible work. They didn't know what was the matter with me until a doctor noticed my foot turning black. Did a pin test and there was no reaction. I remember waking up briefly in blinding pain, and I could hear the gurney flying down the hallway, men shouting and pushing. I found out later they realized that I had had no blood flow for 5.5 hours from here down. They don't know why I have a foot. They don't know why I have a leg. They did surgery. One of the top surgeons in the Southeast walked out of there and said, "I don't understand what just happened." That was a miracle. I love telling this story because it reminds me. I'm not telling somebody else's story. I'm telling mine. I got a man sitting in a blue shirt right here that just went through. At the appropriate time, you got to share your testimony. Louis Bowes is a walking miracle. Recently, cancer is a lie. Mary, here's another guy. How old are you? And getting younger. Amen. Here's the thing, though. Without a knowledge of truth, God would have taken care of my wife. He'd have taken care of my babies. We'd have spoke of the goodness of God and His comfort, and that we'll get to see Lee when we go to heaven. And all of that is true, but not necessary if you have a greater truth. For there was a little gal that stood on a greater truth with confidence and called on the name of Jesus. Not after the fact, instantly flowing out of a heart of belief. Now here's where I can preach it good, but she can live it good. Because I now, laying in a hospital with stuff hooked up all over me, my leg swollen this big around. They harvested the vein out of my left leg like they do with heart patients to fix the right leg. They were fully prepared for it to be rejected. They said I'd never set a horse again. I'd be on blood thinners and other meds the rest of my life. Boy, were they wrong about the horse. 1989, October the 5th. Been on a bunch since then. Been bucked off a few too. No. At any rate, there was an assurance because of the knowledge of revealed truth. It wasn't a prayer of hope. I remember when I was struggling in my faith, the Lord spoke to her, and I don't have time to tell the whole story, but the Lord spoke to her in the middle of the night and gave her, in the middle, woke her up, and she heard the audible words. Listen, people, you think God can't protect us during all of this mess and turn things around? We serve a great God. This isn't the time to run. This is the time to stand. He gave her a verse. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 42. Jackie and I, most of you know this, but we'd spent several years on the mission field. Part of my heritage is my missionary dad and their ministry. The Lord knew where to meet us. He isn't saying Because you did good, I'm going to give you good. That's not what he was saying at all. That's not the way he works. But he was reminding us. In our understanding, reminding us, I've seen your heart. Now watch mine. Woke her up in the middle of the night. And Jackie, she's sitting right here. My wife, raise your hand, baby. She found Psalm 41, 1 and 2. I said Psalm 42, didn't I? Psalm 41, verses 1 and 2. I guarantee you she wouldn't mess up on that verse. Because the Lord spoke. She heard it audibly, got up. She was in a strange house. Long story of why she wound up there. She got very disoriented the night that they weren't sure if I was going to make it or not. She wound up in a strange house. And she began to search the house over for a Bible. Finally found a Bible. Opened it up. And these are the words that she read. Blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. Thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. That's for us today. And what we're facing right now. But for me in that day, it was my life. And I remember when I was struggling, Jackie'd walk in there and I'd be having a pity party. Why? God, we spent time on the field. We've given our lives for you. This and that. Why did this happen? I remember she'd walk in there with the boldness of a lion. You'll not talk like that. God gave me a promise. And I remember her taking the Bible and literally throwing it on my chest and said, you will believe what God has said. For he told me you will be as if nothing ever happened. Now, thank God for the school that we met at, for new truths about faith that we became aware of, because both of us in our background didn't know that. We were, before that, double-minded. We believed God will heal sometimes, and sometimes he won't. We believed that sometimes it was God's will for us to be sick. We never knew when or how or why. But in God and his sovereign will, knew when to help and when not. That's not biblical. Now, he'll work with us on our level of understanding and knowledge. He doesn't work with everybody the same way. If we reach out in faith, he'll meet us where we're at. He can use doctors. He can use... He absolutely does. My Rebecca, who's sitting here next to Bruce, we didn't know it, or was sitting next to Bruce. We didn't know it. But about 12 years of age, we noticed a goiter. She wasn't growing. Find out it's Hashimoto hypothyroidism. Permanent. It was while she was in Bible school and began to learn the truth of God's Word, drew a line in the sand one day after a particular service and dealing with some anger that she had towards an individual, forgave them and said, Mom and Daddy, I want you to do communion with me because this is the last day. Scared us. The medicine is over. God has healed me. I'm not advising you to do that. This was her own walk with the Lord. This is what she in her own self. I don't advocate quitting. That's stuff that crazy people do out of presumption if they're not standing in faith. But if you're standing in faith and you're following the Lord and he speaks to you, that's between you and the Lord. But she scared us. And God healed her that day. This is with test, medical reviews, absolutely, 100% from the day her husband can attest to it. And many other things that have happened since. I want to encourage you. But here's the deal. Double-mindedness will cause people, bad information can incite fear. And with fear, the wrong kind of people, the wrong kind of information can exercise control over you. We see a lot of that going on right now. All of this misinformation campaign and everything that's taken place is threatening the very core of a Christian nation. And I'm going to show you in the process that is exactly what we are. That is exactly how we were defined in the beginning. Exactly how we have been defined until very recent history. A Christian nation. We have no problem saying X nation is a Muslim nation or India is a Hindu nation, but for some reason we choke with saying it absolutely is a Christian nation. Anyway, let me get back to where I was at. Double-mindedness. If a lie can come in and get you separated or confused, double-minded, it erodes your ability to be able to stand in strength. I'm so glad that my wife was not double-minded about her authority in Jesus and the healing power of God. She believed to her very core. Psalms 103, if you don't know this verse, hear it today, write it down, go home, study it. 103, David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Forget not His benefits. He who forgives all of your iniquity, your sin, your state of sin." Boy, Chad did a powerful, I think it's about time for you to preach again too, by the way, did a powerful message on what iniquity means and what this verse means. If you missed it, find it and listen to it. Who forgives all of our iniquity, who heals all of our disease, crowns our life with tender mercies and loving kindness and restores our youth. I'm missing part of it. Is that most of it? I think I'm missing part. Did I get it all? She says pretty close. See, that's why you got to check on Bubba. Who redeems your life from destruction. That's the one. I knew I was missing one of the meatier parts of it. Who delivers your life and renews your youth. Brother Louie, Mary, renews our youth like the eagle. Because she was not double-minded, there was a strength and a resolve that allowed God to do what He loves to do. He wants to do it, but He's not a tyrant and He's not a dictator. He will cooperate with our willingness to trust Him and stand in faith. But double-mindedness will erode your fear. Double-mindedness about grace. I stood yesterday in that memorial service and talked to a man who was exposed to the gospel at a very young age, now struggling with his dad's death and how he died. And the last guy in that room, big, tall, brawny guy, bald head, everything, the one who seemed the most sober, almost like he resented me. I was totally wrong, approached me after that memorial service and began down to break cry. He said, "I want to believe what you're telling me so bad." He began to cry. He said, "But I don't feel worthy. My life has been so..." We're trying to arrange. Do you know what I'm talking about? Trying to arrange a conversation. I trust in Jesus' name that He will. Do what you can on that end. Kathy was there. She knows the family from way back. It shocked me. I did not expect that from him. One of the toughest looking guys in the room. And I don't feel worthy. How Satan will come in and lie. Paul said concerning the Corinthians, he said, "I'm jealous over you. I'm concerned that like Eve, you're going to leave the simplicity of the gospel." He was speaking to much more than them leaving just a simple presentation of the gospel. He was the preacher of grace. He understood the whole story found in Genesis 3, 2 and 3, where Eve is spoken to by the deceiver and basically says, "But did God really mean that?" He infused a lie to create double-mindedness. And she was deceived. One of the first things that we'll see if you study Genesis 3 You'll see that with deception came double-mindedness. And as the result of that was sin and death. Immediately thereafter, God, the Father, knows something's happened. For he's walking in the cool of the evening in the garden, and they are hiding. And their response is, we were naked and we were afraid. And God says, who told you you were naked? He knew, for they had eaten. They had everything. He told them, you may eat freely of all that is in the garden. Notice that Eve, under the wielding subtlety of the devil, misquotes God and says, God told us we could eat. That's not what God said. God said you can eat freely of all. He uses subtlety and little tweaks to the truth to divide, to confuse, to make us double-minded. Are you double-minded about morality? God loves us all. But living together when you're not married is wrong. God still loves you. I'm not judging you. Judgment was fully paid in Jesus. But have you changed? It amazes me how many people feel it's okay. God accepts it. We just heard God loves you, but he does not affirm all of that. And it's never too late to say, wait, we need to change some things. Abortion. God loves. It's always hard for me to talk about this because people have been through this. They didn't know. They were duped. They were victim of a postmodern education that spoke of these things and rationalized until after a while it wasn't a baby. It was a fetus. It was a blob. They changed what the Word of God said. Has your moral compass, have you become double-minded? Are you one of those that says, well, I believe that it is most of the time, but there are cases in which, no, there are not. There are women who gave birth as a result of rape to men who became great men of God, regardless of how they were conceived. God saw that little spirit joined with a body and had a plan and a purpose. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil. You got it, brother. Absolutely, Brandon. We got to understand, have we become double-minded? Have we been so duped by what is happening? This is what's happening right now. All these kids riding in the streets. The church has gone to sleep and let the education system go the way it wants to go. And now they're not educating people how to be productive. They're brainwashing them towards a particular religion. Godless, humanistic, globalism, and all that it entails. You think I'm reaching on that one? You better back up and think. Use your head. This is not hard. Wow. 5 afternoon and I've just dug a hole. Double-mindedness. Let me get back and I'll finish. Let me go back to the grace thing. If somebody can come to you. I remember when Chad and Gina were hearing what I was saying about grace. The truth of the Word of God that sin, past, present, and future. That was such a shocking and misunderstood truth of God's Word. I remember people getting up and leaving out of here mad. Because if I'm saying that He forgives future sin, then I can do whatever I want with impunity. And it's no big deal to God. That's foolishness. There is still consequence for sinful behavior. And God's Spirit in us leads us into truth and righteousness. Sin is stupid and sin hurts. Are you with me? But you better hope that he paid for future sin, for he died 2,000 years ago. And the price was final. And your freedom from guilt and condemnation that drives you back into sinful behavior is only broken when you recognize that he has forgiven all and has, Hebrews says, perfected forever those who have believed. But if the devil can infuse religion into that, that old thinking, the doubt. And I remember Chad and Gina so struggling with some of these things because of our background, very similar. Pentecostal background, holiness background. Thank God for them. At least they led us to Jesus. I don't throw it all out. I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful I was raised in a Christian home. Thank God for your Christian roots. But that little thing lent double-mindedness that caused me to live, even as a pastor and a minister, in perpetual defeat. I never was confident before God. Chad and I have talked about this. I remember the day Gina, sitting on the front row when this was turned around the other way in another setting, falling apart on a Thursday night. She began to bawl. I'll never forget it as long as I live. I got it. I got it. She was a little quicker than Chad. Probably still is. It changed your life. Come on, Gina. Did it change your life? Did it change your marriage? Your ability to be grandma? Ma? The struggle, the battle you guys have been through the last few years, but grace held you in there. Chad sat back, he's confessed, he said, he's back helping on the soundboard, and he said, I don't know. The smacks of bad doctrine, heresy. He said, I was that far from running until the day that the love of God broke through, and he found out therein lies my freedom. But if the devil can sneak in and make you double-minded, did God really say? Double-mindedness gives way to fear. Well, if I could, way over time, add this and then we'll come back next week. Thank you for the extra time. Nobody, very few have left, so we're doing good, I guess. Long video again. This is exactly what is happening. It's not just the left, people. Pull your head out of the bucket for a minute. It's not just the left. It's not just the media. A lot of those people, they probably, many of them mean well. I mean, there's some scoundrels among them, but we got scoundrels on our side too. We got some real knuckleheads on the right side of the aisle. We've had some knucklehead presidents that posed as defending our values, but were not at all. But we have to recognize the spirit that drives that which would rob freedom, which would shut down the churches. And listen, don't be deceived. They're after you. I don't have time again to read, but we're connecting to the church website and to the Facebook what is happening right now in Phoenix, Arizona, concerning contact tracing. What's going on right now in a red state, Dallas, Texas. They are still planning and working towards an absolute draconian attempt at seizing our rights. And you need to be awake and aware. And it will probably make its way up here. And I want to challenge you. Anybody comes to you talking about you were within 6 feet, I want you to point them right in the face and say, I want your name, I want your number, and I want your address. You put it right back at them. Because what they're doing is unconstitutional, it's illegal, and I believe God's going to turn things around for good. Don't remember, as the tares and wheat grow, clarity will be given as we stand and believe God together. I am so stinking way out of time. But what I'm trying to tell you is what they're trying to blast you with is double-mindedness. You stand strong as we get more and more informed. I didn't even get to a third of where I wanted to go, but we're doing our best. Thank you. Let's pray and be dismissed. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for truth. Thank you that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you that even righteous anger needs to endure but for a moment. For when I lay my head down, I cast my cares upon you. I don't let the sun go down upon my wrath. For it is the peace of God that will call the shots and umpire my heart. As I make my request known to you with thanksgiving. Father, today I thank you for your people that were not asleep, that were not lulled into sleep, that were awake and aware. And for those watching this video, we never know who may be watching this video, that it stirs and awakens people to see, to not rise up in the same kind of anger that we see happening, but rise up with strength and authority and begin to call a spade a spade. Are you here today? Call righteousness and truth and not be afraid to stand. We're going to be challenged in the next few months because they're not going to quit. I'm still praying and preaching. They're not going to quit. They don't want this man in there. When you look up this, and I hope you do, 51555, actions in the message line, you'll see why they hate him. And it has to do with you and I, the people of God, standing in the way of some major things going worldwide. Let's stand and believe God together. Shall we, Father, thank you for your people today, for your grace, your peace, your strength, your wisdom upon them. And everybody shouted, amen.